Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Spending Christmas break at my grandfather's house had always been a cherished tradition. His house, nestled in the countryside, was a cozy, old-fashioned home filled with warm memories. But one Christmas, that warm nostalgia was shattered by an experience I'll never forget. It was late December, and my parents had just dropped me off at Grandpa's for the holidays. The house was beautifully decorated with twinkling lights and a large Christmas tree in the living room. The scent of freshly baked cookies wafted through the air, and I felt a sense of comfort and joy as we settled in for the night. Grandpa's house had a basement where he stored old tools, holiday decorations, and various odds and ends. I always found it a bit creepy, but it was also fascinating. That year, Grandpa asked me to help him fetch some extra Christmas decorations from the basement. I agreed, eager to help. As we descended the wooden stairs into the basement, the temperature dropped and the air grew musty. There was a single light bulb hanging from the ceiling. We rummaged through the boxes, chatting and laughing, and soon had our arms full of garlands and ornaments. That night, after a fun-filled day of decorating and baking, I went to bed feeling content. My room was on the ground floor, and it had a small window that looked out onto the backyard. As I drifted off to sleep, I felt safe and secure. A few hours later, I was jolted awake by a strange noise. It sounded like a faint tapping, coming from the direction of the window. My heart started to race as I sat up in bed, straining to hear. The tapping continued, irregular and eerie. I slowly got out of bed and crept towards the window. Peering through the curtains, I saw nothing but darkness. I told myself it was just the wind or a branch brushing against the glass. Trying to calm my nerves, I went back to bed, but sleep didn't come easily. The next night, the tapping returned. I mustered the courage to look out the window again, but saw nothing. My imagination ran wild with possibilities. I decided not to mention it to Grandpa, not wanting to worry him. On the third night, things took a terrifying turn. I woke up to the tapping once more, but this time, it was accompanied by a soft, rhythmic scratching. My fear turned into dread as I realized something, or someone, was outside. I reached for my flashlight, my hands trembling, and shone it towards the window. For a moment, I saw nothing. But then, as the beam moved across the glass, I saw a face. Pale and gaunt, with hollow eyes staring back at me. I gasped and stumbled backward, dropping the flashlight. The face disappeared into the darkness. Panicking, I ran to Grandpa's room and woke him up, my voice shaking as I explained what I had seen. He grabbed a baseball bat from his closet and led me back to my room. Together, we peer out the window, but the face was gone. "We need to check the basement," Grandpa said, his voice steady but concerned. We went downstairs, our footsteps echoing in the silence. The basement door was slightly ajar, and a cold draft wafted up from below. Grandpa flicked on the light, and we cautiously descended the stairs. Everything seemed normal at first glance, but then we saw it. The small window near the ceiling was slightly open. Snow had blown in, leaving a wet, muddy patch on the floor. Suddenly, we heard the faint sound of footsteps above us. Someone was in the house. We exchanged a terrified glance and hurried back upstairs. The living room was dark, but we could see a figure moving near the Christmas tree. "Who's there?" Grandpa shouted, brandishing the bat. The figure froze, then bolted towards the front door. Grandpa chased after them, but they were too fast. By the time we reached the door, they had vanished into the night. We locked the doors and called the police, who arrived quickly and searched the area. The officers found footprints in the snow leading from the basement window to the woods behind the house. They told us the intruder was likely someone who had been watching the house, waiting for the right moment to break in. The police promised to patrol the area more frequently, but the sense of safety we once felt was shattered. That night, we slept in the living room with all the lights on, the baseball bat close at hand. Over the next few days, we tried to enjoy the rest of our Christmas break, but the fear lingered. I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. Grandpa and I spent a lot of time talking about what had happened, trying to make sense of it. We never found out who the intruder was or why they had chosen our house. The police didn't catch anyone, and the footprints eventually disappeared with the melting snow. But the memory of that face at the window stayed with me, a constant reminder of the terror I felt. Sleepovers at my friend Matt's house were always a highlight of my childhood. His house was an old Victorian-style home, filled with character and charm. But there was one part of the house that we all tried to avoid, the basement. Rumor had it that the basement was haunted, and after one unforgettable night, I became a firm believer. It was a chilly autumn evening when Matt invited a few of us over for a sleepover. We spent the day playing video games, eating pizza, and sharing ghost stories. As night fell, the atmosphere grew more eerie. The wind howled outside, and the old house creaked and groaned with every gust. Hey, let's play a game of truth.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Or dare, Matt suggested, a mischievous glint in his eye. We all agreed, and the game started off lighthearted. But soon, the dares became more daring. When it was my turn, Matt dared me to spend 10 minutes alone in the basement. My heart sank, but I didn't want to back down in front of my friends. "All right, I'll do it," I said, trying to sound braver than I felt. Matt handed me a flashlight, and I made my way to the basement door. The wooden stairs creaked ominously as I descended into the darkness. The air grew colder, and the musty smell of old wood and damp earth filled my nose. I reached the bottom of the stairs and shone my flashlight around. The basement was cluttered with old furniture, boxes, and forgotten relics from the past. I found a spot near an old workbench and sat down. The silence was deafening, broken only by the occasional drip of water from a leaky pipe. I kept telling myself it was just a silly dare, that there was nothing to be afraid of. A few minutes passed, and I started to relax. But then, I heard it, a faint whispering sound, like someone was talking just out of earshot. I strained to listen, but the whispers stopped as soon as they had begun. My heart started to race, and I felt a prickling sensation on the back of my neck. "Calm down," I muttered to myself. "It's just your imagination." But the whispers returned, louder this time. I shone my flashlight in the direction of the sound, but saw nothing. The whispers turned into soft, eerie laughter. I stood up, my legs trembling, and backed away from the workbench. "Who's there?" I called out, my voice echoing in the cold, dark space. There was no response, just more laughter, now mixed with the sound of footsteps. Panic set in, and I wanted to run back upstairs, but I didn't want to seem like a coward. I took a deep breath and tried to steady my nerves. Then I saw it, a shadowy figure moving between the boxes. The figure seemed to glide rather than walk, and its presence sent a chill down my spine. I shone my flashlight directly at it, but the light seemed to pass right through. The figure stopped and turned towards me, its eyes glowing faintly in the darkness. "Leave this place," a voice whispered, seemingly coming from all around me. I couldn't take it anymore. I turned and bolted up the stairs, taking them two at a time. I burst into the living room, panting and wide-eyed. My friends looked at me, their faces a mix of concern and curiosity. "Are you okay?" Matt asked. "There's something down there," I gasped. I saw a figure, and it spoke to me. They all exchanged uneasy glances. Matt's face turned serious. "We've heard the stories, but we never actually saw anything. Are you sure?" "I'm sure," I insisted. "I'm not going back down there." The mood of the sleepover changed drastically. We decided to stay together in the living room, trying to shake off the fear. But curiosity got the better of us, and Matt suggested we all go down to the basement together to check it out. Reluctantly, we agreed. Armed with flashlights and a newfound sense of bravery in numbers, we made our way back to the basement. The atmosphere was just as oppressive as before, but having my friends with me made it slightly more bearable. We stood in a circle, our flashlights illuminating the room. Matt took a deep breath and called out, "If there's anyone here, show yourself." For a moment, nothing happened. Then, the temperature dropped even further, and we saw our breath fogging in the cold air. The whispers returned, louder and clearer, and we all heard them this time. The shadowy figure reappeared, standing near the workbench. "Leave this place," the voice commanded again, more forceful this time. We stood frozen, too terrified to move. The figure began to move towards us, its eyes glowing brighter. That was enough for us. We turned and fled, racing up the stairs and slamming the basement door behind us. We spent the rest of the night huddled together in the living room, too scared to sleep. When morning finally came, we told Matt's parents what had happened. They were skeptical but promised to check it out. A few days later, Matt called to tell me that his parents had found an old diary hidden in the basement. It belonged to a previous owner of the house, a man who had died tragically in the basement many years ago. The diary detailed his final days and hinted at unfinished business that had kept his spirit tethered to the house. Matt's parents decided to have the house blessed by a priest, hoping to put the restless spirit to rest. After the blessing, the strange occurrences stopped, but the memory of that night stayed with us. When I was a kid, my aunt and uncle's house was the place for birthday parties. Their home was big, with a sprawling backyard and a basement that seemed to go on forever. It was the perfect place for hide-and-seek and all kinds of adventures. But one birthday party turned into a nightmare that still haunts me. It was my cousin Jake's 10th birthday. The house was filled with laughter and excitement. The adults were upstairs, chatting and enjoying themselves, while us kids were in the basement, playing games. The basement was like a wonderland, filled with toys, a pool table, and a small TV where we could watch movies. As the evening wore on, someone suggested playing hide and seek. It seemed like the perfect way to end the night. The basement, with its nooks and crannies, was the ideal setting. I found what I thought was the best hiding spot behind a stack of boxes in the far corner. The lights were dim, adding an extra layer of thrill to the game. I crouched behind the boxes, trying to keep quiet. I could hear the muffled sounds of my cousins searching for each other, their laughter echoing off the walls. Suddenly, I heard a creak behind me. I turned around, expecting to see one of my cousins, but instead, I saw the outline of a man. My heart raced as I realized it wasn't one of my cousins. The man was tall and thin, his face partially obscured by the shadows. He took a step closer, and I felt a wave of fear wash over me. "Who are you?" I whispered, my voice trembling. He didn't answer. Instead, he took another step forward, his eyes glinting in the dim light. I scrambled to my feet and backed away, my mind racing with fear and confusion. "Get out of here!" I shouted, hoping to alert the others. The man lunged at me, and I dodged to the side, knocking over the boxes in the process. The noise drew the attention of my cousins, who rushed over to see what was happening. The man turned and fled, disappearing into the darkness of the basement. We ran upstairs, shouting for help. The adults came rushing down, and my uncle grabbed a flashlight to search the basement. We all waited in the living room, the fear palpable in the air. After what felt like an eternity, my uncle returned, his face pale. "He's gone," he said, his voice shaking. "But I found this." He held up a dirty sleeping bag and a backpack filled with food and clothes. It was clear that the man had been living in the basement for who knows how long. The police were called, and they arrived quickly to search the house and the surrounding area. They found no trace of the intruder, but the discovery left us all shaken. For days after the incident, the house felt different. The once cozy basement was now a place of fear and unease. My aunt and uncle had extra locks installed on all the doors and windows, and they made sure we were never alone down there. I couldn't stop thinking about that night. Every creak and rustle made my heart race. I had trouble sleeping, haunted by the image of the man lurking in the shadows. My parents tried to reassure me, but the fear was always there, just below the surface. A few weeks later, I was back at my aunt and uncle's house for a family gathering. The adults were still on edge, but they tried to act normal for our sake. My cousins and I decided to go back down to the basement, trying to recapture some of the fun we used to have. As we played, I kept glancing around, my nerves on high alert. The basement seemed darker, more oppressive. I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. At one point, I thought I saw a shadow move out of the corner of my eye, but when I turned, there was nothing there. Eventually, I excused myself and went upstairs, unable to stay in the basement any longer. My uncle noticed my discomfort and asked if I was okay. I told him I was just feeling a bit off, but he saw through my lie. "Do you want to talk about it?" he asked gently. I nodded, and we sat down in the living room. I told him how scared I still was, how the image of the man haunted me. He listened patiently, then put a reassuring hand on my shoulder. "We're doing everything we can to keep you safe," he said. "The police are keeping an eye on the area, and we haven't seen any signs of him since that night. But it's okay to be scared. What happened was terrifying, and it's going to take time to feel safe again." His words helped, but the fear didn't go away completely. Over time, it faded to a dull ache, a reminder of the night that changed everything. I became more cautious, more aware of my surroundings. I never went into a basement without checking every corner first. Looking back, I realize how lucky we were that night. The man could have done so much more harm if we hadn't discovered him when we did. The experience taught me to trust my instincts and to be vigilant, even in places that seem safe. I've always been a bit wary of basements. The cold, dark space beneath our family home had always given me the creeps, but nothing could have prepared me for what I discovered one night. It was a stormy evening, and the power had gone out. My parents and younger sister were upstairs, lighting candles and trying to get the generator going. I volunteered to go down to the basement to check the fuse box, hoping to restore some light to our darkened home. As I descended the creaky wooden stairs, I felt the temperature drop. The air was thick and musty, and my flashlight cast eerie shadows on the concrete walls. The basement was cluttered with old furniture, boxes of forgotten belongings, and various knickknacks. I made my way to the fuse box, which was located in the far corner of the basement. I was fumbling with the fuses when I heard a noise behind me. It was faint, like the rustling of fabric. My heart started to race, but I told myself it was just my imagination. I focused on the task at hand, but the noise came again, louder this time. I turned around, shining my flashlight in the direction of the sound. The beam landed on a pile of old blankets and boxes. I took a step closer, my pulse quickening. As I approached, I saw a figure moving beneath the blankets. "Hello?" I called out, my voice trembling. The figure froze. For a moment, there was complete silence. Then, slowly, the blankets shifted, and a man emerged from the pile. He was disheveled and dirty, his eyes wide with fear and desperation. "Please," he whispered, "don't call the police." My mind raced with questions. Who was this man? How had he gotten into our basement? I took a step back, my flashlight shaking in my hand. "How did you get in here?" I demanded, trying to keep my voice steady. He didn't answer. Instead, he crawled out from under the blankets and stood up, revealing his gaunt frame. He looked like he hadn't eaten in days. "Please," he repeated, "I have nowhere else to go." I felt a surge of fear and anger. This man had been hiding in our basement, right under our noses. I had no idea how long he'd been there or what his intentions were. I wanted to run upstairs and call for help, but something in his eyes stopped me. "Why are you here?" I asked, my voice softening slightly. He sighed, running a hand through his tangled hair. "I lost my job and my home," he said. "I needed a place to stay. I didn't mean any harm." His story tugged at my heartstrings, but I couldn't ignore the danger he posed. I took another step back, my flashlight still trained on him. "I'm going to have to call the police," I said, trying to sound firm. His eyes widened with fear. "No, please," he begged. "I'll leave. Just let me go." I hesitated, torn between sympathy and fear. Finally, I nodded. "Fine. Go. But if I ever see you here again, I won't hesitate to call the police." He nodded gratefully and hurried past me, disappearing up the stairs. I waited until I heard the front door open and close before I followed him. I locked the basement door behind me and went upstairs to tell my parents what had happened. We called the police anyway, just to be safe. They searched the basement and the surrounding area but found no sign of the man. They told us to be vigilant and keep our doors locked. For weeks after that night, I couldn't shake the feeling of unease. Every time I went down to the basement, I half expected to see the man hiding there again. I never did, but the fear lingered. One night, about a month later, I was sitting in the living room when I heard a noise from the basement. My heart skipped a beat, and I immediately thought of the stranger. I grabbed my flashlight and hesitantly made my way down the stairs, the familiar chill creeping over me. The basement was as cluttered and eerie as ever. I shone my flashlight around, looking for any sign of movement. The noise came again, a soft shuffling sound from behind a stack of boxes. My hands shook as I approached, my heart pounding in my chest. I reached the boxes and hesitated, my mind racing with fear. Summoning all my courage, I pushed the boxes aside. There, huddled in the corner, was the same man. He looked even more gaunt and desperate than before. "You again?" I said, my voice a mixture of anger and fear. "I told you to leave." "I'm sorry," he whispered, tears welling up in his eyes. "I have nowhere else to go." I took a deep breath, trying to steady my nerves. "You can't stay here. It's not safe." "I know," he said, his voice breaking. "But I have no other choice." I felt a pang of sympathy, but I knew I couldn't let him stay. "I'm calling the police," I said firmly. "You need help, and I can't give it to you." He didn't resist this time. He simply nodded, defeated. I called the police, and they arrived within minutes. They took the man into custody, promising to get him the help he needed. As they led him away, he looked back at me, his eyes filled with a mixture of gratitude and sadness. I watched him go, my heart heavy with conflicting emotions. The police assured us that they would keep an eye on the area and that the man would be taken to a shelter. I hoped that he would find the help he needed, but the experience left a lasting impact on me. For months afterward, I couldn't go into the basement without feeling a sense of dread. The memories of those nights are a constant reminder of the hidden dangers that can lurk in the most unexpected places.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.